30 thoughts.
Back in the early 70s, you had on one hand tightly formatted top 40 stations, and then you had very, very loose progressive rock stations playing 20-minute drum solos.
Actually, what I had in mind was this new idea called album-oriented rock, AOR, as being sort of the next level after progressive.
Oh, if you program this like other radio formats, if you establish some repetition, some rotation of the very best material.
Kick ass with that fist in the air, adamant statement type of thing. And then other people would go rock and roll. And I just kind of put it all together and said, wow, kick ass rock and roll describes what we're doing.
Nobody really knew what FM's potential was. At the dawn of the 70s, no one could have guessed that an FM like KNUS Dallas, the station Gordon McLennan offered to sell for only $150,000, would be worth more than 20 times that amount before the decade was over, or hundreds of millions today. When R&R published its first issue in October of 1973, a story appeared on the front page announcing a new FM in Dallas.
WFAA-FM Dallas now becomes KZEW Dallas-Fort Worth. Welcome to the zoo.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true.
The zoo was an album rock station, but it had a lot of texture, had a lot of interest, and it had a lot of soul to it.
Ira Lipson.
There was a lot going on in terms of what we did for the community and community events and live music broadcasts.
That's one of my favorite Zeppelin tracks on the zoo. Also heard from Taj Mahal, The Stones, and Joan Armatrading. I'm Mark Christopher, thanking you for joining us at the Zoo Goodwill concert yesterday at Fair Park and bringing a bag of old clothes. Thanks to you, we raised 100 tons of clothes for Goodwill Industries. Thanks also to Black Oak, Arkansas, Wishbone Ash, Pure Prairie League.
The more mainstream programming approach got ratings and made money, a fact that didn't go unnoticed by veteran broadcaster Kent Burkhardt, who along with Lee Abrams launched the Burkhardt-Abrams Superstars format. Like ABC's Rockin' Stereo, this approach to album radio traveled well. But even Abrams admits that trying to take it to a station like Old Line Progressive WNEW New York would have been more trouble than it was worth.
It was the biggest freeform station in the country. There was no program director then, no direction. It was just a bunch of DJs who, you know, were good and popular. Sales department was outstanding. I mean, they sold the shit out of that thing. But it was too freeform. It didn't have any discipline. It was a big shame. It could have been one of the most incredible stations. Right now, it's legendary, but it's legendary. It's a very, I think, a very thin legendary. First of all, is it that legendary? They'd still be rocking.
Elton John is our guest at WNEW-FM in New York. Now, as long as you're going to be DJ, remember, you have to do some work too, okay, Elton? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Now, wait, we have a music bed behind the commercial that you now have to do. I'll hit the music bed, and it's a little ding 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 sort of thing like that. All right. Let me let you hear it first. Okay, now, go ahead.
Okay, hi. If you want to ring your boyfriend or eat the Pink Pussycat Boutique, New York's number one exotic novelty shop, now has New York's largest selection of fantasy items.
Overwhelming response, you can't do it again at the Doughboys.
It's tougher than your day.
Tougher than your day.
KMET. How you doing, folks?
In Los Angeles, KMET General Manager L. David Moorhead turned to Mike Harrison.
I was sort of like an outsider insider who was also the managing editor of R&R. And we worked on the format and changed it and changed it. And lo and behold, KMET went from being an underground mess to beating KLOS.
KMET is heaven.
LA's Rock Wars made an impression on KHJPD John Sebastian. Sitting at a once great but dying AM, Sebastian soaked it in, formulated a plan of his own, and took it to WCOZ Boston.
When I went into the station the first day, there were 10,000 albums in the control room. And the first thing I did was go into the studio and take them out myself. And I left them like 20 albums to play until I put in my format, which of course freaked everybody out. But I would say, you know, our playlist ended up being 500 to 700 cuts.
If you remember the early AOR stations, She in Miami, and I mean, you know, every city had your old line AOR station in the mid-70s, they were playing from a fairly large library.
Dennis Constantine.
What happened was that a lot of those stations went off and became much more focused, much more rock, much more modal, somewhat alternative. But AAA is a direct descendant of those old stations, which a lot of them started as progressive stations. And when I put KBCO on the air, that was the idea, because the AOR stations in Denver had gone to superstars or had whatever they had done. They had kind of lost the original concept of a broad-based library playing contemporary music for rock lovers.
And from the new album Kinspiracy here on KBCO Boulder, it's a minute before 8 o'clock and we're about to get into our album of the week. Good evening to you. I'm Richard Ray, and we've got a special treat for you tonight. You've been hearing us talk about it for the last few days. We're going to do laser music for you tonight, just digital laser music. And with us, with the machine that's going to produce that, have Walt Stinson, one of the founding members of Listen Up. Welcome, Walt.
Thank you, Richard.
Tell us about this machine. Now, the thing I wanted to ask you right away is I've been just referring to it as the machine. Does it have a specific name?
Yes, it does. It's called the Compact Disc. We sent Steve Weiner over to Japan in October, and he went to the Japanese Audio Fair where this machine was introduced. We were so excited about it that we flew some machines and some records over here to the United States so that we could begin to acquaint people here in Colorado with the technology. But we don't expect to have any machines. If you go down to your local store, most of the stores will be carrying this machine, but at this point in time, Listen Up is the only one who has any machines in the area, and these machines were brought in, flown in from Japan.
Okay, we'll be back in 20 minutes or so, about midway through the album, and talk a little more. Right now, side one, there's no sides, are there? Well, there's one side. The first portion of our album of the week on digital laser retrieval, here on KBCO Boulder.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do.
So, the 80s began with two forms of album radio. One resembling Tom Donahue's vision. The other, closer to the fundamentals of Top 40.
That was the corporate rock days.
Cindy Maxwell.
So we had a lot of music coming out from Journey and Genesis and Stevie Winwood when he was rock. Eric Clapton was still rock at that time.
But according to Max Tolkoff, anyone who was paying attention noticed.
There was this hole for music that was selling, but nobody was playing.
Marty Schwartz.
I had been doing national rock promotion for Elektra, so I was pretty familiar with all the rock stations all over the country. And it just got to the point where it was horrendously boring. You know, they all sounded the same. It was during the period of modal programming, where sort of a bombastic sound. Wherever you travel across the country, most of the stations sounded the same. And it was a lot of corporate rock, for lack of a better term. So really the growth of and the birth of the alternative format was a knee-jerk reaction by a few programmers to say, we can't take this anymore.
ROQ 106.7 on your FM dial. The Rock and the sisters doing it for themselves, darling. And I spy. Well, it's about time for me to fly on out of here. It's been another wonderful night, gang. Jed's going to be here any moment now. So until I talk to you again, babies, fly low and avoid the radar. I'm going to leave you with some Captain Beefheart here on The Rock.
You know what? This is Jed, the Don't Say Psodnoff Fish on Carol QFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Rock of the 80s.
Rick Carroll's concept for K-Rock was not as a rock station. He really saw it as kind of a top 40 for the next, you know, generation.
His mentor was Bill Drake, and when Rick and I hooked up, he always told me that K-Rock is nothing but a rock top 40 station that plays music no one else will play.
Throughout most of the 80s until 88, there were still only about 12 stations doing this in the entire country. There was no rush to alternative until Nirvana in 1991.
Alternative really exploded when AOR did not acknowledge Pearl Jam and Nirvana. It was a different sound from the hairband era. The hairband era was so big And that sound was so huge, and the audience ate it up. It was a great heyday. We look back now and we laugh at it. The bad thing about it, though, was that programmers were not open to new sounds, to the new sounds of rock. And that was really what gave alternative that big jump start, that college radio mentality of, hey, this sounds different, this is not for the masses. But I don't think that they themselves knew it was for the masses. Nirvana and Pearl Jam were for the masses.